Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick, and this is the weekly look at news and people around the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. And today's guest had a busy couple of weeks. It ended Saturday with the roar of the Jaguars' final auditions. A team of 34 has been selected for 2016, and Associate Director of Cheerleading Christy Steckman-Zenda will take us through that process and what's next for the team. And I was at those final auditions Saturday at the Times Union Center downtown. Yeah, tough gig, I know, and it's pretty interesting how it all comes together. She'll walk us through it in just a few minutes. First, though, a recap of last week's visit with Jaguars President Mark Lamping. You might remember our conversation about U.S. soccer and how Lamping would really like to secure a U.S.-Mexico game at Everbank Field. That exchange was unscripted, of course, and U.S.-Mexico soccer history is pretty long, so our historical accuracy came off as a little fuzzy. Here's the exchange.
Our goal would be to have a U.S.-Mexico game here. That's the game we would love to have.
Dos a cero, right? Is that what they say?
Yeah, well, that was a 5-0 game. I think that was actually a giant stadium. I think that won against us, didn't it, if I remember right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, anyway. I know we did take a whipping one time. It was in the Gold Cup, but I hope I'm totally wrong on that.
We'll check it out.
There have been scores going both ways in that heated rivalry. We'll see. I mean, I didn't unveil anything that like a third grade Jaguar fan wouldn't have already known, and a third grade soccer fan would have known really what happened.
True.
With the 5-0 whooping.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out if they did or not.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out we were both right. The Mexicans defeated the U.S. 5-0 in the CONCACAF Gold Cup Final. That was in July of 2009 at Giant Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. That was the game Lamping was speaking of. But Dos a Cero is the long-standing cry from the Americans because of the 2-0 scoreline that has come quite often. In fact, MLSsoccer.com had a story from the last U.S. win over Mexico. That was in April of 2015. That win was the 8th time in 23 matches since 2000 that the U.S. defeated Mexico by the score of 2-0. 4 of those 8 games came in Columbus, Ohio in World Cup qualifiers, and another came in the 2002 World Cup itself. 2-0 finals in favor of the U.S. in important games. Dos a cero, indeed. Either way, the goal of a U.S.-Mexico match at Everbank Field is certainly a worthy one, and that's one that would bring an incredible amount of light to the stadium and the city. Time will tell. Let's get through the U.S. and Trinidad and Tobago match. That's coming up September 6th. Let's get to some headlines from around the Jaguars organization. We start with the bad news from Friday. Cornerback Aaron Colvin suspended 4 games for the violation of the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. The league announced that suspension Friday afternoon, and GM Dave Caldwell said in a statement that the team has been aware of this impending suspension for some time now. And Colvin himself said in a statement that this will not define him as a player, and he apologized to players and coaches. For me, I tend to believe Colvin in the interactions we've had with him in the media. He's a strong competitor, and we'll take it as a good guy who made a mistake and will learn from it. And if we've seen anything from Colvin, it's his ability to overcome adversity. He's the guy who tore up his knee at the first Senior Bowl practice before his draft, and I was standing on the sideline when it happened. He could have been a low first or second round selection, but fell to the 4th round. The Jags scooped him up, of course, knowing it would be a process. But they knew how he handled that situation to begin with and what kind of personality he had. And once he got on the field for the Jaguars, of course, he made an instant impact and turned into a vital part of the defense last season. Played outside at corner and moved inside in nickel defense situations. So that's why this loss is a blow. If you have him, House, Amukamara, Gibson, and Cyprian, that's a pretty strong secondary. He will, of course, miss the Jags game in London against the Colts. That's week 4. You don't know the rest of the schedule yet. That's coming out in a couple of weeks. But last year in the London game, Colvin had 6 tackles, a sack force fumble, and that pass breakup to seal the win against the Bills on 4th down. Now some good cornerback news for the Jags.
11:35 to play. In overtime, pressure coming. Maddox turns and throws. It's intercepted. Rasheem Mathis just got it. He's going to the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jaguars. They beat the Steelers.
Rasheem Mathis recently announced his retirement from the NFL after 13 seasons. But on Wednesday, the best corner in Jags history will make it official. He'll sign a one-day deal to retire as a Jaguar. He's a hometown guy, a graduate of Englewood High School here in Jacksonville. He went down to Bethune-Cookman and Daytona Beach and was a second-round pick by the Jags in 03. In 10 seasons with the Jags, a franchise record 30 interceptions for Mathis, and he played his last 3 years in the league with the Detroit Lions. He was a great player on what was a very good defense in the mid-2000s and could be the first defensive player inducted into the pride of the Jaguars, the team's ring of honor. Over the weekend, a writer into the Ozone on Jaguars.com asked John Osier if they considered signing him to a 4-game contract after the Colvin news. Well, I doubt that, of course, but a great career for Rasheen Mathis, and he will be the guest Wednesday on Jaguars.com Live. That's at 12:30, of course, on Jaguars.com. And finally, Blake Bortles had a busy week last week for the Blake Bortles Foundation. Last Monday, he was out of the charity challenge at TPC Sawgrass trying to win that closest to the pin contest. He didn't qualify. His shot hit the fringe, didn't even get on the green. Thursday night, baseball. Blake Bortles threw out the first pitch along with Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry for opening night at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville for the Jacksonville Suns, the AA affiliate of the Miami Marlins, after threatening to throw a knuckleball.
First pitch knuckleball, you ever seen that? Is that aggressive? I got to start out with a fastball. This is my first ever. Hey, if you have me back, then
you've
I'll
never done this before?
Never.
Hey.
I swear.
Bortles threw a strike at least. I'm not sure I'd call it a fastball, but it was over the plate. More publicity for the Blake Bortles Foundation Golf Tournament coming up this Friday and Saturday down at the World Golf Village. That includes that concert Friday night and the tournament Saturday. For tickets or for golf, visit BlakeBortlesFoundation.com. Our guest today on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast, Christy Steckman-Zenda, Associate Director of Cheerleading for the Jaguars. What's up?
Good to see you. Thanks. I feel so honored. I mean, this is my first appearance on the podcast, so.
Well, it's only the second podcast.
Okay.
That means it's important because
there
Mark Lamping was one.
Oh, wow. Okay, then. Yeah, this is, okay.
So you feel better
this is
now?
Serious. Yeah. I'm excited. Okay.
It's good. Oh, it's a busy time.
It is.
In the cheerleading world. Of course, construction going on at Everbank Field. But construction each and every year for the Roar as well. The final auditions held this past weekend at the Times Union Center, and 55 were pared down to 34.
Yes.
And it's finally over. You can actually breathe now,
yes,
right?
The cheerleader draft is officially over for this year. It's a busy time, you know. It really is. And it was tough. We had an amazing group of women audition this year, and I'm really excited to see the final team now come together and get ready to get on that field.
The process, I was there the other day, and it was, I'm not sure what I expected going into it, but I don't know I expected to come down to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all you get. I mean, you're on the stage with two other ladies for a 2 or 3 minute period, and then you have a talent portion that's a minute to 2 minutes, and that's it.
That's it.
Now, that's a lot that goes into
it. And their interview, which you didn't see that day. They also did an interview, so that adds a little extra to their audition time. But, you know, it's tough. It really is having to show your best in a quick period of time and be on for that minute. And if you're not on for that minute, you never know what will happen. So we were really fortunate to have such an amazing, talented group of women come out. We couldn't go wrong. You know, all 55 finalists were amazing. They were fantastic. They really were all about what the Roar is about and the Jaguars and our city. And now we're down to 34. So here we are.
So what is the Roar about, since you know, you said that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's about not just being talented dancers. It's about being ambassadors for the team in the city. It's about being able to go out to a youth cheerleading camp or dance camp and interact. It's about doing hundreds of appearances. And it's a lot. You know, it really is. And they're all balancing amazing careers outside of this as well. Or they're in college or they're balancing their families. So, you know, it's a lot of dedication for these women for this year. And they all do a great job.
Christy Steckman-Zenda is with us, Associate Director of Cheerleading for the Jaguars after Roar auditions. Were you a cheerleader?
I was. Yeah, I cheered 98, 99, 2000.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want to go to the front office side of it?
You know, it was time. You know, I graduated from college, and it was time to, you know, make the leap. And it was great. You know, those were amazing years to be a cheerleader here in Jacksonville. Three home playoff games as I was a cheerleader. Sure. It was, the energy was high, and I'm excited to see, I think, that's coming back very, very soon here in Jacksonville. And I can't wait for the cheerleaders now to have the experiences that I had, you know, with just the city coming alive. And it's going to be great.
We've got to talk about the calendar, because that's an annual event for your group. How important is the calendar to what you do every year?
You know, I think it's exciting to see our team evolve. You know, we have a new logo over the past few years, and all of the excitement and energy and changes that have been part of the evolution of the Jaguars, and, you know, our commitment to London, you know, being there for one game a year has been really exciting for the cheerleaders because of them being ambassadors. And obviously the players don't get to travel as much for media purposes and things like that because they're here with their training camp and practices. So we've really taken on that role. And it just seemed like a natural progression for us to kind of be a little more, as we like to say, so international on the Roar. The girls have a hashtag for that, so international. But, you know, it really is, you know, just kind of our world and social media and all those things have kind of come into play along with it because it's such a huge part of, you know, everyday life now. And it was really exciting to work with these women in this just stunning locations and really have really beautiful model photography for them for these calendars.
So the next one comes out, of course, next year in 2017.
Yes.
The 2016 one is on the wall right now,
yes.
Of course.
Yes,
so
of course.
It's always ready by towards the end of the year, right?
Usually right around the time we kick off, so yeah. Right around September.
We'll start a football season.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll look forward
yes,
to
please
this
do.
One. It's going to be interesting. Christy Steckman-Zenda is with us from the Roar of the Jaguars. What's the requirement? An annual, if you're a member of the Roar for a year, it's a full-year term, you have to try out again to be on the team next year, so nobody's guaranteed to be back. What are your requirements throughout the year? What are you required to do? How many appearances? Are there a certain number? How does that work?
You know, they have to audition every year. So it is, you know, like any other entertainment job. You know, if you're on Broadway, you know, you're auditioning almost every 6 months, depending on the show. You know, if you're, you know, on a football team, you're always, you know, auditioning, so to speak. You know, it's all every game is your proof that you still got it. So we do have our veterans audition every year, and unfortunately, not everybody makes it every year because it's just so tough. And we have such a great pool of candidates come every year. You know, I think that's been a really important part of our process, having the veterans be a part of it every year, and it's been exciting.
So throughout the year, once you make the team. Is there a minimum amount of appearances you must make to stay on the team, or how does that work?
No, you know, it really is up to their schedule. Okay. Obviously, they have to be at rehearsals, and then they have to be at games. But, you know, everybody's balancing crazy busy schedules. So with 34 people on the team, we have a really good opportunity to cover off all the various appearances without having everybody do everything. You know, there's just too many things to do for everybody to have to commit to those. So it's really, you know, based on your schedule. As long as you're at appearances and rehearsals and games, appearances are really up to you and your availability.
And the process now, since you have the team, is to get them onboarded and actually on the team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's a lot of paperwork.
Yes, it is. Now, you know, all the fun and excitement and energy and sparkle, so to speak, of auditions is now complete. And now it's down to the paperwork and fittings and all of the things to get everybody ready to go for the year.
Can you still high kick?
I can, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
It doesn't go, it's like riding a bike?
It's like riding a bike. Never goes away.
I got to tell you, my hamstrings were sore, and I was just sitting there.
I know. You know what? It's tough, you know? We need to see you out there.
No, you don't.
We really do.
You really don't.
I think the fans want to see it.
I don't think they do. I doubt highly that they do. What's the most difficult part of your job, day to day?
You know, I think it's just trying to balance all 34 women and all of their individual schedules and details and also making sure that everybody gets the best opportunities for. So that I really work hard to make sure that the appearance they're going to is the right fit for them, you know, and I always try to put people in situations like if they're a college student and they're in healthcare or nursing or something like that, I make sure they do the appearances at our hospitals because I always want to put people that can potentially benefit from that, learn from it, and then also it looks great for us to have people that are connected in that world as well. So it's always kind of those making sure everybody's where they need to be and really in the best situation to succeed.
We appreciate your time. You can check them out. They'll be announced actually earlier this week, officially, the 2016 Roar of the Jaguars. It's the most visited page on the website. Shocking, right?
Don't tell Ozone, though.
Oh, yeah. He gets upset about that. There's a little controversy.
Yeah, you know. It's okay.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for auditions. Thank you for coming here.
I'm so excited.
Thanks for coming on here.
It's an honor. It's a privilege.
It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Christy Steckman-Zenda from the Roar of the Jaguars. A few things to remember for this week. Number one has nothing to do with football. Pearl Jam at the arena Wednesday night. A little search on twofeetthick.com, a Pearl Jam fan site hailed as Pearl Jam for the impassioned fan. Well, the group has never played in Jacksonville, so a big night Wednesday at the arena if you're into that. The Blake Bortles Foundation Golf Tournament coming up Friday and Saturday. Visit BlakeBortlesFoundation.com for more details. And phase one of the off-season program starts in less than a week. It lasts 2 weeks, the phase one period, and it's limited to strength and conditioning. Phase two after that, a three-week period featuring individual player instruction and team drills, but no team offense versus team defense drills. And phase three is the final four-week period, including OTAs and mini camps. 7-on-7 included, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills are permitted, but no live contact. That's coming up very soon. Our thanks to Christy Steckman-Zenda, Jags Associate Director of Cheerleading, for her time today. And a special thanks to Joe Fortunato, Jaguars Manager of Radio. Thank you for listening. I'm J.P. Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.